Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
God is good. We give praise to Jesus for his mercy. Just celebrate Jesus and give him praise. We give him praise. Jesus, we worship you. We appreciate you, merciful God. Only you can save us. And we are thankful because you are the one at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Blessed Redeemer, we thank you. We are glad and we are grateful to you. Thank you for yet another time to discover your kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for yet another time to discover your riches. Thank you for yet another time to discover your glory. The Lord God, every one of us together, we will make that necessary movement and progress into the things of God. We bless your name tonight. We ask you, Lord God, for utterance. And ask you, Lord God, for entrance. That you will grant us sight and grant us insight. Blessed Redeemer, we shut out every confusing spirit. Bind every lying force and darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, I've prayed. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say that I am counting this a very awesome moment, and I am not taking this for granted at all. Amen. And so I appreciate God's servant in the house, Reverend Sheyi Osonyimbi. I appreciate you, sir. Please help me appreciate him and welcome him. Hallelujah. You're welcome. And Mama, Reverend Mrs. Sheyi Osonyimbi, please help me appreciate her. We appreciate you, ma. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Help me appreciate Barrister, Pastor, Doctor. Please don't hide from the front. I appreciate you, sir. Please help me welcome him. Mr. Jemmy Lowe, you're welcome, sir. We appreciate you. My pleasure. Thank you very much. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I celebrate all God's servants in the house. Pastor Bilu in absentia. I celebrate everybody. Thank you very much. And all the other men of God in the house. Thank you. And God bless you abundantly. Hallelujah. I came here with one of our pastors from home. It's Pastor Abayomi Oke. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. I want to say I'm happy to be here. And I give praise to Jesus for making it possible. It was like everything was just working for us not to be able to make it to come. But I thank God that we are here. Praise God. And so it's important to always remember that for every little thing that you think is little, give thanks to God. Yeah, because some little things are powerful enough to stop you from being here tonight. Yeah, so but we give thanks to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. It's like we have been on this kingdom subject for some time now. God is wonderful. Yeah, that is the message, actually. That's the message. And so we give praise to Jesus for this light. Sir, is this thing for me? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, amen. We give praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We read a scripture here in the morning, and I'd like to read that scripture again. Praise the Lord. I am excited in the spirit because I believe God that this season of learning about the kingdom of God is key, all right, for us to come into the new thing that God is bringing us into. So it's just not just our head knowledge, okay? Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12. Ooh, glory. Luke chapter 12. There was a parable of the rich fool we read there in the morning. Though we didn't read everything, but it made such strong impression. Luke chapter 12, I read it from verse 13 to 21. It says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Hallelujah. One's life does not consist in the what? In the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things will be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Praise the Lord. When we read this in the morning, it made so much impression. Hallelujah. So much impression. Being rich towards God. But there is something there that the Holy Spirit was knocking at that he wants us to understand. The soul of the man that was talked about here was crucial. He said his soul was not his own. Right? The soul belonged to God. Hallelujah. But there was something the man was doing. The man was storing up for himself, but not for his soul. The man was saying, let my soul rejoice. But what he was asking his soul to rejoice over were not inheritance in his soul. He asked his soul to rejoice over inheritance on his bands. We are going somewhere. Just follow me. Praise God. The man asked his soul to rejoice over what his hands have gathered. The man asked his soul to rejoice over that which his eyes can see. The man asked his soul to rejoice over that which will put him in committee of nations. The man asked his soul to rejoice over those things which all other men who have not known the Lord can also gather. And so he made a silly mistake. And then God came to him and said, you know what? Now I gave you a soul, but you don't understand the precious gift I have given to you. Now I am going to ask you to give back to me that which I have given to you. Let us see on what ground you will rejoice. And so that was a very strong thing. So there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament deals with the outward appearance. The New Testament deals with the soul. The Old Testament has to do with everything that is no configuration outside. That was why scripture says everything that God gave to them is called shadow. So the New Testament tells us about that which is the reality of the shadow. But you see, there cannot be a reality if there is no shadow. So the shadow is good and the reality is important. Praise God. Because you are not going to understand the depth of the reality if you don't understand the depth of the shadow. So it's important that the church has to learn something from the church in the wilderness. Praise God. Because just as we are today, so they were in their days. Now, what God has, wants you to come into an understanding that the church is not a monument, but the church is a movement. So it's clear you must understand that we are going somewhere. Praise God. And now, just like the children of Israel, when they left the land of Egypt, they were on a journey. But why they set on that journey, why they were set on that journey, something happened to them that they were not aware of. God required of them that the lamb be slain. And so when the lamb was slain, the blood was spilled. And so by the blood, entrance was granted into them, for them out of Egypt. They have been in that Egypt for many years. God promised Abraham 400 years, but eventually it turned out to 430 years. And after 430 years, something happened round about them in that land of No. Scripture called Egypt in the book of Ezekiel as No, meaning Egypt is N-O, No, meaning Kosi. It does not exist in the sight of God. But in another realm, Egypt does exist. Praise God. But in the realm where God exists, Egypt does not exist. But it's clear for you to have this understanding, because when God set them on that journey, something was required. He said, let them mark the doorpost and mark the lintel with the blood. And so he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But now God that was going to pass over them, he actually sent an angel called the angel of death. For your information, that angel did not come from hell. The angel came from heaven. So you have to understand that God has ability to kill and ability to make alive. If he doesn't have apparatus to annihilate, you cannot call him God. So he's called God because he has tools that can remove everything called humanity from man. You know what I'm talking about? He said, if you stop these men from shouting Hosanna, I have ability to command these stones. They will arise and they will shout. So you understand the God we are talking about and the God we deal with. Praise God. But as they came out of Egypt, they came out with a few things. Number one, they came out with the God of Egypt. And the God of Egypt didn't come. They didn't handle the God of Egypt like this. But the God of Egypt was kept in their soul. For 400 years, 430 years, they had inhabited. Hallelujah. Everything called the God of Egypt was in them. Praise God. So as they came out, they were not Egyptians, but they were Egyptians. You remember the story when Moses got to the place of his mother, father-in-law, when he met that fine, beautiful girl. Is it Rachel or something? Hallelujah. He said, the father said, but you came so early. Moses, he said, but you came so early. He said, well, actually, I came so early because an Egyptian helped me. Though Moses was an Israelite, but Moses was born, bred, and groomed in Egypt. So technically, Moses had become an Egyptian. You understand what I'm saying? Now, by the time Moses got outside there, something happened to him. He didn't know there was so much configuration by that which he has interacted with for many years. Praise God. He took somebody else who was not part of the bondage to recognize Moses and said, this is an Egyptian. And then she said to her parents, it was an Egyptian who helped me. Do you understand that? Now, Moses didn't understand to what extent that meant. But now, that thing that was in them was their God. And that thing held their soul. They didn't understand that gods are not kept in hands. Gods are kept in soul. Paul wrote, and he says, my little children. John wrote, he said, deliver yourself from what, sir? Idols. Because idols are not the things you put around you, but idols are the things you store up in your soul. Praise God. And so these are the things that rule you. A man is not ruled from outside. Every man is ruled from outside. You understand? For we all are servant to that which has subjugated us. And what are the things that have subjugated you? For one man is different. For another man is different. But when God brought them out of that land, they didn't understand that the God of Egypt was in them. So God had to first destroy the king of Egypt before he took them into the wilderness to destroy the God of Egypt. So it was in the wilderness that the gods of Egypt was destroyed. So if you ask yourself, what is kingdom? So under the old covenant, the kingdom meant something different from the New Testament. Not that it's actually different, but it is seen in different lights. So it has to be clear, for about 1,500 years, the kingdom was given to the children of Israel. And for that long period of time, they did not know God. And so in Bible says in Amos chapter 9, it says, for that people, they became a sinful nation, a sinful kingdom. Because they became a sinful kingdom, God says, I am going to take this kingdom away from you and give it to another nation that is bearing its fruits thereof. And so Jesus began to speak in the book of Matthew. If you read from chapter 8, he began to talk about some of these things. He now said, there are things that you have to know. There are things you have to know. If you don't know them, the kingdom of God will not be yours. Praise God. For the kingdom of God is not a physical place. Ah, hallelujah. Scripture says in the book of Luke, it says, for the kingdom of God is not with physical observation. You cannot say, there it is or here it is. It says, for the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. So for the kingdom of God to be within you, it means that the kingdom of God must have successfully fought the gods that you have inherited from your father's house. The gods that tied you to your tribe and nativity. The gods that tied you to whatever. You know, when Nigerians get abroad, they forget that they are Hausa, Igbo, or Yoruba. And there is that just thing, that simple thing called Niger, that binds them together outside there. Do you understand? Do you understand? I remember a story somebody said sometime. He said a friend of his came from Niger to visit him, and the guy lives in U.S. And he's also a friend of ours and a friend of this same guy. But he was just telling us how the guy messed up some, you know. Praise God. He said they were together there, and then today was Saturday, tomorrow Sunday, and the guy began to bring out all his clothes and began to iron. He ironed one, iron two, iron three, iron four, iron five. And then the friend says, don't enjoy yourself. Oh, just your day. Well, don't relax now and keep it. Oh, no, I so. Only call him as no lola. Only munolo. So the thing that make us Ninja is not Igbo, Hausa, or Yoruba. You see that thing? Only munolo. So when you say, what is a kingdom? Hallelujah. Praise God. Kingdom is not just that physical place. Kingdom is that dominion. And dominion is invisible. Kingdom is not a physical place. Kingdom is spiritual. Kingdom is dominion. And I like the way God, somebody puts it. He said the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's rule. Did you hear that? He said, he defined the kingdom that way. He said the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's rule. So the kingdom of God has nothing to do with physical place. It's not physically here. So when Jesus began to teach us to pray, he said, pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. He wasn't speaking about bringing the whole heaven here. And so this is one mistake we have made, and the church has not been able to come to realize that there is a difference between the kingdom and the church. Praise God. The kingdom is dominion. The church is ecclesia, called out ones. Meaning the church is a people. Where we are now technically, this is technically an assembly because the church is in the spirit. The church is everyone who is called out and logged on into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that is where we all assemble. Praise God. For you are come unto Mount Zion, Hebrews 12, the city of the living God. We have come, we have come, we have come. Praise God. Now the first thing God did is to bring us to come. And the second thing he's doing is to bring the kingdom to come to us. Hallelujah, amen. Because you cannot understand the power of God. You cannot understand the riches of God if you don't understand the kingdom of God. There are many riches. There are many powers. But you understand also that there are many kingdoms. Hallelujah. And so by the time they came out of Egypt, they came out with the gold.
power for many years of his life, until one day Moses took that rod and God took him to the backside of the wilderness. And as he got there, God told him, remove your shoes from your leg, for where you stand now is the holy ground. And then he removed his shoes. God says, there is one more thing. There is a rod in your hand. Drop that rod. And Moses dropped the rod. And as Moses dropped the rod became a serpent. And Moses ran away from that serpent. And God told him, pick up that rod. You know why? That rod is your nature. That is who you are in the spirit. That serpent. Remember when John looked at the children of Israel, what did he call them? He said, you are what? Brood of vipers, meaning children of this viper. Offspring of viper. Moses saw his true nature, and Moses ran away from his true nature. And as Moses ran away, go, hey, yeah, no, don't run now. Come back, boy. Pick that same rod. And by this time, you are going to pick it from the tail part, not from the head part. And so Moses, out of fear and scared, then he picked. Can you imagine yourself picking that kind of a rod? Woo-hoo. Come on, pick something. And as he put his hand and he picked it out of obedience to God. If I were to be there, I don't know. Well, you know, just imagine if it were you. But out of obedience to God, he picked that rod. And as he picked it, lo and behold, the serpent turned back to rod. And then he turned the part that used to be the head, now became the tail. And the part that used to be the tail, now became the head. And turned it upside down. That's Atumbi. The same soul, God turned it upside down. Remove that which is venomous out. He says, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. It is the same soul God wants to use, but he's going to punch out and remove everything that is not of him inside that soul. But he's still going to use you. If you are a gentle guy, if you get born again, you don't become rash. And if you are rash, you don't become gentle. God understands the texture of your soul, but the venom inside will be removed, and God will still use you. You can never compare Paul and Peter. Now you understand that Paul was anything goes. Paul will enter into anywhere and he will find them to say, yeah, he said, I came here and I observe your religiosity. I can see that you guys are highly religious in this place. He said, but I see something. I found an altar there that had no God on it, but you put a tag there to the unknown God. Peradventure, there is one more God we are not aware of. Paul said, actually, that is the one I have come to talk to you about. But you and I know that if Peter were to be in that circumstance, he wouldn't preach. Peter would be grieved. Peter got to the house of Cornelius. And Peter got there and he said, Holy Spirit brought him there to teach the word of God and get this guy filled with the Holy Spirit so that he would kickstart the kingdom of God in their life. But Peter got there and talked and talked and talked and talked and then forgot the instruction given to him by God. And my Bible says in the book of Acts, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost fell. So you are wasting time, boy. And Peter was saying, you know, I'm not supposed to be here. You know, if they catch me here, nothing. Me, bam, you understand. But you know what? I imagine Peter was in that place where they kept one table and said to the unknown God, he wouldn't preach. But Peter, and Paul realized something later. He said, ah, you know what? I am sent and I'm apostle to the Gentiles. But you, Peter, you are sent to the Jews. You can go to the Jews while I go to the Gentiles. Praise God. And so God is speaking to us tonight and bringing us into an understanding that every soul here has something that the soul is rich in. Every soul here and those who hear me online, you have something your soul is rich in. And that thing your soul is rich in is the king that rules your life. Colossians 1:13, it says, for God, Jesus, has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. There is a movement, but though we have moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, but something happened. As we moved, the God that we served moved with us. Because the place of the wilderness is a place where the gospel is brought out to deal with the idols in our mind. You can't learn God in this city. You can learn about God in this city. But you learn God in the wilderness. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It is learning that brings us into that realm that God calls the kingdom. Everybody say learning. Your learning will determine your earning. Your learning determines your earning. How much of the kingdom you have learned will determine how much of the kingdom you will earn. But until that happens, the kingdom that you have always known, the kingdom that has always taken advantage of you, will begin to rule and you will earn by it. We speak high things sometimes. We speak faith sometimes. But how many of us prosper by faith? Scripture says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold upon eternal life. It means by life you will prosper. It means by life you will be able to lay hold upon that which is pleasure, which is treasured in the sight of God. But you see, so much is locked up in your soul. And that is the beginning of the fight. Praise God. And so Moses now came to realize that something was there that he never knew was there. But now God was going to show to him something else rule you. But now if I'm going to rule you, I am going to first break down things in you. Now the same thing is said in the New Testament. I will put the kingdom within you. Because if the kingdom of God that I've put in you cannot destroy your maliks, if the kingdom of God that I've put in you cannot destroy your pride, if the kingdom of God that I've put in you cannot destroy your self-centeredness, then that kingdom cannot conquer your environment. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So it's important to know that what God calls kingdom is not what men call kingdom. By the time Moses came to realize something, when God had fully delivered Moses, the Bible says Moses at the time was the meekest man among them, right? Right? Come on, right? But when it was time for God to move, in quotes, meekest man into new things, the idols within him revolted. I am teaching kingdom. May God grant you understanding. God called Moses and he said, this is a rock. First test, speak to the rock. And I spoke to the rock. And the rock brought water. Woo! Up Moses. Second experience, God brought him to yet another rock. This time, first time he says, smite the rock. This time he says, speak to the rock. The two experiences. Do you understand that? First time he said, smite the rock. Second time, speak to the rock. First time, something is in your hand. What is in your hand? Oh no, no rod. That was his new nature. Remember, I told you that the rod has been thrown down. And then he became serpent. And then he picked the serpent from the tail. And then picking it from the tail, turned the place that used to be the head became the tail. The part that used to be the tail became the head. That was being born again. And so now God told Moses, what he was holding now represents something. New nature. Do you understand? So you can as well say divine nature. Because that rod budded later. Yeah, remember there was an argument. He said, who is the one that God is using among us? He said, okay, all of you submit your rod. There were 12 tribes. They all submitted their rod. The rod of Moses actually became the rod of Aaron later. Because out of the abundance of the Spirit God placed on Moses, he took from it and consecrated Aaron. That was why Aaron did not know God. He borrowed anointing. God knew Aaron, did he know God? So he got one time and said, you know, guys, Moses, come up. You will stay here for 40 days. I'm going to delay you. Let's prove what is in Aaron. I told you he doesn't know me. You thought he knew me. Let's prove what is in him. And then Aaron came around and said, Moses, it prepared you. Service. Talo le preach, bye. Shall I preach? He won't go the. Okay, Mahashe. All of you submit your earrings. And the Bible says he fashioned that earrings to a molten calf. And calf is the god of Egypt. Now, that calf, before it became a molten calf, had been in the soul of Aaron. A circumstance only brought out what had been in him into a physical expression. Do you understand that? And so God told Moses, you see, and the Bible says they were all fornicating in the camp. And the Bible says, Moses, see, they are your people. God said, God removed himself. He said, you see the people whom you brought out. Can you see them? I told you are all the same, Egyptians. Praise God. So you understand it now. So by the time God was working with Moses, now smoked the rock. He smoked the rock, what that came out, right? So God was going to move him into another realm where he will understand the true nature, the true place, what they call power, that thing power. And that power is what will produce glory. Now this time, now speak to the rock. You know, speaking is faith. Faith comes by hearing and it goes by speaking. If any man shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have. So faith comes by hearing and goes by speaking. So at the point here, Moses was supposed to speak. God wanted to teach him faith, because without faith, it's practically impossible to please God. So at this point, he talked and talked and talked and talked, then forgot the instruction. You remember Peter in the house of Cornelius? Then he brought out what he was used to. And then smote the rock. Friends, water still came out. So I came to a conclusion by the Holy Ghost. When you are doing the wrong thing and getting right results, be afraid. When you are doing the wrong thing and getting right results, be afraid. Be afraid because God is about to use you as an experiment. Beautiful example of a bad behavior. So you have to come into that understanding. Hallelujah. That when God says, my kingdom, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of men. If my kingdom were to be of men, I know what to do. Hey, I just need to call guys. Hey, any guys? Egbe. Come on. You know, at the point they were flogging him and dealing with him. Where is your kingdom? He said, it's not here. He said, you are lucky. If my kingdom were to be here like you guys. Oh, yeah. I won't suffer to this level. That very first day you guys had the thought, my delete bubuni. Raligi Eva and the guy, you just go like that. They won't see you again. But Jesus went through the process because his kingdom is not here. Hallelujah. And so have this understanding. What God was showing to them was clear by the divine nature. That new nature is the kingdom of God. That is the expression of the kingdom on the earth. That is the expression of the kingdom of God on the earth. That is the one that could be glorious or could be rich. That nature, that's your new being. So Moses held the divine nature, but he was living the old life. Oh boy, you don't get it. Do you understand that? What was in his hand was God, not just rod. That thing was God. That thing was dominion. That thing was the kingdom. The scepter was in his hand. But now when it was time to act, he acted from the idol in his soul. So you see why I said that story we read in the morning made so much meaning. That man was not rich toward God. Praise God. So when God saw that that has played out, now he said, we are going to change all this now. You get that? My kingdom will not be permanent with you. Because Moses was not an ordinary man. Please catch this. It's important. Hallelujah. Moses was the Christ of the Old Testament. Yeah. Moses was the Christ of the Old Testament. Moses was like Jesus. Both men don't have age mates. When they were born, all their age mates died. 2 years downward. So they stood out from their mates, from their crowd, in the day they were, in the year they were born. You understand that? Jesus and Moses, praise God. Now, both of them were called prophets. Now, both of them testify of each other. Moses himself said, there is a prophet like unto me, that the Lord your God, like unto me, a prophet like unto me. You see, a prophet like unto me. God is going to raise him. And when God raise him unto him, he will hold the scepter. Then when he holds the scepter, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Anyone who will not gather unto that prophet shall be severed out of Israel. He was that serious. Praise God. So the idea here, the life that God is showing us is this. When you say kingdom of God, you are saying that by which God exercises dominion. Now that's why you have to know that ijoba orun o ya to si orun. Do you understand? You know, we pray for ourselves. It's not a prayer point. Listen to me. It's not a prayer point. You know, Yorubas, we greet with every and anything, you know. Yes. That rain fell yesterday. That you didn't come to church yesterday. Praise God. Come on, hallelujah. So there is something that came from God that linked to the earth. And that is the kingdom of God. Jesus taught us something to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this, thy kingdom come. Not we go to the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. If it is a place, it wouldn't say thy place come. Do you understand? Do you understand? Okay. Now the kingdom is the rulership, is the authority, is the dominion of a king. But in this case, the king has his dominion over a sphere, over a people. Praise God. But God, the way he's demonstrating his kingdom is by putting something about that kingdom into the hearts of men. For what reason? So that the kingdom, that dominion tool, can first deliver us, deliver our soul. So something is going on within you right now. You understand that? In Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Can you run there quickly for me? Luke 16, 16. Hallelujah. Oh, I've not read Bible today. Okay. But we are blessed. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 16. Thank you. The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Everybody say it's preached. Since the time of John, the kingdom is preached. But before John came, the kingdom was not preached. Follow me. You will understand where I'm going to when I come to riches. I'm looking at the time. Don't worry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. This same kingdom, at the time, the throne of the kings in Egypt was called the throne of God. In the Old Testament. You understand? Because God ruled in their midst. So a day came when the people gathered together and told Samuel, you know what, Samuel? We are done with you. You are old now. Your children are going to take over from you. We don't want you. Samuel didn't have a palace. Do you understand? But we are done with you. And Samuel went to God and cried, "Oh God, you see these people." And God said, "Shh. It is not you they have rejected. It's me they have rejected." So did you know that the scepter was in their midst? Something was at work in Samuel, by which Samuel was able to rule and govern them. How do you know a sphere governed by God? The will of God is done. It's clear. It's clear. This is, I said, how do you know? Okay, that is the kingdom of God is working there. When you go and peep, you will see the will of God done. But if you peep and you cannot see the will of God done, it's not the kingdom of God that is there. There are other kingdoms there. They rejected Samuel, and Samuel cried to God, and God said, "No, you are not the one they have rejected. They have rejected my dominion. They have rejected my rule." But what was it that God was going to do with them? God wanted to deliver them. They now use their mouth to say something. "We want a king." Everybody shout, "We want a king." That was what they shouted. "We want a king." Hear what they said. "Who will go out for us? Who will come in with us like other nations?" That was the error. The beginning, not really error. That was the beginning of the exposition of the idol that was in their hearts. You know, idols can be anything. Ministry can be idol. Dominion, self-dominion can be idol. It can be an idol. Only you and God knows what you carry, why you do what you do. Do you understand? The day God will ask you, if suddenly you find out that I have an anointing to do great miracles, the day you find out, what will you do? The day you find out that if I lay hands upon the sick will recover. And if I call the dead, they will come back from the grave. That day, you just discovered that. And trumpet sounded from heaven. Ba-ba-bam, ba-ba-bam, bam. It's in you. Glow. Rule your world. What will you do? Suddenly, all angels will hang around and watch what you will do. If you ever watch football like Pastor Shea, they have been playing for 40, is it not 90 minutes? But this time is now 83rd minutes. They say the match is about to finish. No score. You know, temperature will be very high. Body temperature, you know, and blood pressure. You just experience. That's rough when they are pressing us. But you know what? Imagine the match now ended like that. Psh, 0-0. They now say penalty. Now, Nigeria versus Ghana. Just imagine that. Now, this one play, score. The other one play, score. The other one play, score. The other one play. Then the last one from Ghana played and went over. And says, okay, the other one will now play their own. You know, it's like at that point, you can feel the heartbeat. And then the guy now put the ball there. As he's putting the ball, the whole stadium will be quiet. And then he said, "Now he's about to play the ball." And then the guy is doing some suspense. Anyway, people will stone him with pure water. Kill us a boy, you know. And he go back in the crowd, man. And he will be somebody. And then he get there, just get there. And then suddenly he just went like that and then kicked the ball and entered the goal. You know, people, everybody will enter into the field. They'll break all rules. Do you understand? Now, God was watching. All angels will be watching. They want to see, what will you do right now? Will you show forth the kingdom of God? Or you will show forth the kingdom of this world? Which God? God is planning to take over. Because he already prophesied that in Revelation. For the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Therefore, God wants us to understand what he calls riches definitely cannot be that which the world projects. It means whatever God calls riches of this kingdom, as the kingdom is veiled to the world, so also the riches are veiled to the world. So the riches are not things you can stumble upon. You cannot just know it. They are kept. They are kept. They are kept. Why? Because the riches are the expressions of the kingdom. So in other words, if you want to have more of the kingdom, check out my word. You now need the riches. The riches are the things that are locked up in Christ, which when you now gather them, when you gather them and know them, the next thing that will happen is that you will express the kingdom of God. And when you express the kingdom of God, the world will define that as glory. So glory is the abundance of a thing. Glory is the abundance of a thing. That's why I call it kabod. Kabod is glory. E kabod is the glory has departed. So glory is seen in scriptures in different forms. Number one, glory is seen as shining, anything that shines. Number two, glory is seen as weight. Number three, glory is seen as praise. So now, God is saying to us, there are things locked up in Christ. Now he's calling us to himself for us to come and gather those things according to what he has said in Ephesians. Hallelujah. There are things he called inheritance. This inheritance in Christ, they are the riches of Christ that express, that will express the kingdom of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, come into this understanding that God is saying to us that right now, the first thing he wants to do is to deal with the kingdom that is in our soul. Those things in our soul, they are your riches. Sorry, time will fail me to read Bibles. Let me give you scriptures. Hallelujah. The things are your what? Riches. We all have riches. A man came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Wow, that is beautiful. Keep the law." The man said, "Which one?" "For I have kept the law since I was a youth." He remained one. "What is it, Master?" Jesus. "Sell all you have." "You are touching my riches now. You don't understand. I said I've been keeping the law since I was a child. Meaning I am rich in the law." The man was rich. His soul was rich in the law. All the 10 commandments that stood as the commandments, he was rich in them. And then there's another one they call the book of the law. No, it's even on the commandments. Yeah. The commandments are only 10, Exodus chapter 20. But the book are extracts from the commandment by which Moses generated a way of life. That is what they call this, the constitution of Israel. So the constitution of Israel is the book of the law. But the commandments are just 10. Do you understand? So now all Israel will walk. For example, God says, "Thou shalt not kill." That is what the law says, right? But what is killing? How can you kill? So it is in the book of the law. You now know the different methods and means of killings. Do you understand that? So now the man has studied all that, and he has studied all that. He has improved upon his soul by study. You understand? So the man was rich in the law. The man was rich in the law, this same man rich in the law, came against Jesus and said, you know what? I have gotten first degree from the law. And I want a second degree from the life you have. I know the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. And I want that law too. Hallelujah. Jesus said, sell the one you are. Then give the money to the poor. Then come back. Take your cross. And then follow me. Meaning, if you want to learn my things, you must be a follower of Christ. If you are not following Christ, you cannot get the blessedness. You cannot get the riches that are in Christ. For God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? And located where? They are in Christ Jesus. And so these things are locked up in Christ. And so he was saying, you cannot lend mine. I cannot add mine to yours. You have to give up your riches. And then come and take my own. So the things you now read in the New Testament, particularly that God helped Paul to calibrate and put out in clear terms, although in mystery, hallelujah. These things are riches. Hallelujah. The things that when you gather them together, Christ will be formed in you. They are riches. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It means that there are things that will form Christ in you. Praise God. These things, when I say in you, I'm talking about your soul. So as they are being formed, what is happening? They are knocking out your former riches. They are knocking out your former things. For we all have our former things. Have you been to the motor park? Have you seen some Agberos boasts? The guy has no boss in that park. And he was my chef. What is he, what change you? The guy has no boss. When it's through, they will give him 100 naira and he will now follow the next boss. When he's talking, you see pride, you see arrogance. He has things. He has things. So what are the things in your soul? They are properties of your flesh. So what are the things in Christ? They are the inheritance of God in Christ. They are also called substance. They are called divine substance. These divine substances, we learn them by preaching and by teaching. You can sit down with the Bible. You will not be able to come to them because they are spiritually discerned. Because if they are not coded, the enemy of our soul will have access to it and he will twist it and manipulate it and use it for his own advantage. But God has kept these things in Christ. So understand the things that God is giving to you by teaching, by preaching from Christ. They are called substances. They are our inheritance. They are the things that God has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take up your cross and learn of me. Nobody learns of him except the cross has been granted to him. If God cannot give you cross, you cannot slow down to learn. We don't like exams, but you know, exam to a student, help him to once again visit his textbook. Yeah, I like the Yoruba version. He don't wo. What do I wo? Imagine they just say, keep learning from part one to part four, no exams. And in what class? School at Daru and another law will be at work in your soul. But the system is wise. It said, create something called exam. That is why students, even the frivolous one, when they hear, they want to pay the edge, next week, We cancel all engagement. Only Samoa. And they all submit themselves. You have not seen this guy for the last 3 months of the semester. He just appeared. Exam one. Exam name of the graduate. But the important thing is that as he's coming right now, he's coming with his things. The things you have been teaching him in that course, he was not there to gather them. What will he write? So you don't have the things of Christ. Don't expect the kingdom of God. Finally. Woo, I tried. Wow. God is awesome. Finally, Jesus gathered his disciples together. In Luke chapter 22, Bible says, and he took the bread and broke it. And then he said, listen to me. As I do this, this is the last time I'll be doing this. The next time I will be doing this, I will be doing it in my Father's kingdom. And then he broke it and gave it to them. They all ate the bread. Woo-hoo. And on the way to the cross. And then he went to the cross. Between that time he went to the cross, just between two chapters, chapter 22 and chapter 24, or the book of Luke, so much had happened. That Jesus had gone out of the scene. These guys had reversed back to their former riches. So the enemy of a man are members of his household. The things holding you bound are not coming from outside. They are inside. So these are the things the riches of Christ is to deal with. After he has dealt with it, then the praise of God, the praise of Christ will show in your life. And that's what they call glory. You don't give glory to people who are first class, who are first year. First year in the university. You don't convocate first year. When they call convocation, those who want to convocate first year don't appear. It doesn't matter how much you like that gown. You don't go there. You don't go there because everybody will wear that gown. That gown is a process of product. That you have gone through process and you have been made. So when God speaks glory, it's true. He has called us to inherit glory. Yes. The glory he has called you to inherit has already been put in you as a seed. But it has not been conferred on you. That's what Romans says. Chapter 8. It's going to be first revealed to you. Romans chapter 8. I think verse 18 also. Can you just show me as we round up tonight? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah! Wow, you find it. Thank you. Can you give me the amplified version if you have? If you have, I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amplified. You have? You don't have it. Who has amplified version? I need to read that thing. It's important I read it from the amplified. It speaks of what I am saying right now. Yeah. That God has called you to knock out things in you. How will he do that? By giving you his things. His things are his riches. Hallelujah. And after you receive his things, then the glory will manifest. Say amen. Amen. Who has it? Don't sing. Okay, my sister, read loud. As you say it one by one, let me see a sister. I will say after you. But what of that? But I consider that the sufferings of this present age, they are not worth being compared to the glory. Everybody say one. The glory that's about to be revealed, what? To us, say one. And in us, say two. And for us, say three. And conferred on us, say four. You see? Go back again. The glory that will first be revealed where? To us. Ekwadori. Revealed to you doesn't mean you have come into it. It's like doing matriculation and they tell you, you see what this is called part one. After 4 years, you will graduate. Or 5 years. That means it will be revealed to you. For 5 years in the macroom. After 5 years, I'll be out of here. You have seen something. Then what's the next thing? Now the next thing they have to put in you. What are they really putting in you? Is the riches. It is the riches of that glory of the kingdom that they will store in you is called inheritance. They are the products of Christ. They are the things called Christ. Christ is not just a person. Christ is the syllabus of the kingdom of God. Christ is not just a person. In fact, the one you call the person actually became Christ. Yes. That's what the Bible says. He became. When God spoke to Mary and spoke to Joseph, did he say the name of your son shall be called Jesus Christ? He said he shall be called Jesus. But if you now read the book of Acts, scripture down says, this same Jesus, whom your fathers crucified, has the Lord God made both Lord and Christ. At the time he became Christ, all the while he was walking around in Jerusalem, he had always been Christ. But that Christ was in him. He was inside. Outside was Jesus of Nazareth. Inside was Jesus the Christ. So he told the disciples, who do men say I am? You are those poor prophets. They're beautiful. You are the Otitobe. You have been with me. Who do you say that I am? Shame on me. All hands went. We are not too sure. I like Peter. He will first stand up before he thinks. The guy will first stand to his feet before he starts thinking. Hi, sir. He shall say, yes. Come on. Go ahead. In the middle of that, but thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, hey, how did you know this? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. I know who did. The very person who did the packaging. The very person who put the Christ inside and put the flesh outside. So men know Jesus of Nazareth, but they didn't see Jesus the Christ. He said, pull down this temple. What is the temple? Jesus of Nazareth. On the third day, the Christ shall be lifted up. Why is Christ so important? If I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. But he could only draw 12 men to himself as Jesus of Nazareth. But when he became the Christ, he said something and he spoke and he said to Judas. Judas said, I will not believe until I see. The spirit of Christ was there. And then he came back another day. The door locked. The window shut. And the Bible says, then came Jesus. He said, Judas. Thomas, rather. He didn't say Thomas. He didn't threaten Thomas. He said, put your hand. And Thomas was saying, on the fellowship room. Olofo for one be. All of us last week. All of Jesus. Who told Jesus what I said last week? Money me on it. I won't believe until I see. Who told him? He said, nobody needs to tell me. My spirit is with you. Put your hand and feel. As Thomas put his hand, he broke down in tears under the weight of his body. Everything in his mind collapsing. And then he screamed, my Lord and my God. Jesus looked at him narrowly. Because I've told you the answer. But blessed is Cain. Blessed is Taye. Blessed is Rotimi. Blessed is John. Blessed is Philip. Blessed is Cecilia. Blessed is Vivian. Blessed is you who have not seen and yet believe. Rise up to your feet and celebrate Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give him praise because we know he is a greater one. He lives here. 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 He will finish what he has started. His kingdom will come in your soul. His riches will download in your soul. His glory will show forth. It shall be evident what a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. Angels bow before him. I give God the praise. Thank you, merciful God. Thank you for your kingdom. He said, for your kingdom has come among us. Your kingdom has come. Kingdom has come. Your kingdom has come. Your rulership is here. Your dominion is here. You will take over our soul. You will take over everything. It shall be evident. It shall be evident. It shall be evident. Your riches is what we ask for. Your glory shall be seen. Your glory shall be seen. You will turn to him and say, Jesus, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.